Heavenly Father, this Good Friday, help us to comprehend and in our own hearts receive all the benefits for which Christ died. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, friends, you've heard this morning the most shocking verse in the Bible. In fact, we've had a lot of solemn and sobering Bible readings today on Good Friday. But the most shocking verse, I think, in the Bible is not in the eyewitness accounts of the actual crucifixion, though sobering they are. The most shocking verse in the Bible is this verse that was just read for us from Galatians, where the Apostle Paul, with the other apostles, put this interpretation on Good Friday, this meaning on the events of the crucifixion. And here's the shocking verse. It's Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That is stunning. For it is written, says Paul, and then he quotes Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Christ Jesus on Good Friday redeemed us from the curse of the law. Astonishingly and shockingly, he chose to be a curse in our place, or to be accursed by God the Father in our place. Again, Paul's exact words are, Christ became a curse for us. This is how redemption works. Christian redemption works. And it's supposed to be astonishing and surprising. Christ became a curse for you and a curse for me. The worse it is for him, the better it is for us. His physical and spiritual suffering lifts the curse off everyone who wholeheartedly trusts him. His curse is your rescue. So the worse it is for him, the more joy there is for us in salvation. The deeper the suffering, and it is the deepest suffering, it produces the most deep and complete and sufficient redemption. We honor Jesus this morning, friends, by solemnly remembering his suffering and death. But for every true Christian, today is a day of great joy. Christ willingly and lovingly redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. This is our salvation. Now, what do you think he means, though, the apostle means by this term, a curse? We're not really in a kind of, in the pagan world, people are always cursing each other and, you know, in a kind of darker occult things, there's curses. But what does the Bible mean? What does Paul mean when he says Jesus became a curse for us? I guess today when we use the word curse, we normally just mean someone swearing, but that's clearly not what Paul means. Well, the apostle links it to the story of the Bible and the story of the Old Testament. And he's often quoting Deuteronomy in Galatians. In Galatians 3:10, he says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. So the curse is something to do with being under law and not being faithful in 100% following the law. And Paul quotes, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And so Paul appeals to this sense of curse. It comes from the story of God's people. When God chose a people from the descendants of Abraham, he rescued them out of Egypt, he gave them his law, and in Deuteronomy, He presented them with two paths, a path of blessing and a path of curse. And Deuteronomy ends in that reading we had, we only had part of it, but Deuteronomy ends with Moses calling the church together like us today, but imagine more people. Imagine a million people. And God had Moses place the people, he split them in half on two hills in a kind of amphitheater on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And one was supposed to be a hill of blessing and a hill of curse. And the idea is that the two mountains were two futures for Israel. And Moses read out the law, and the people said, like Moses said, cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. Then all the people on both mountains said, Amen. And so the covenant of God placed a burden on the people of the law. And the question is, will they succeed? Because if they fail, they will be under God's curse. And that was the agreement of God's old covenant. Well, how well do you know your Bible? Do you know the story of Israel? Well, actually, in the story of the Bible, they fail. And I think they fail because they're like us. And we would have failed. And in our own journey with God, in our own walk under law, you also have failed. Even in the giving of the law, when Moses presents the blessings and the curses, there are many, many more verses about the curses than there are the blessings. There's a sense of imminent failure. Even when the law is given, Moses has to keep reminding them they're continually failing. The night they got the law, they were worshipping a golden calf. You know, they were always stubborn like we are. And so the story of the Old Covenant is one of failure, one of exile, one of being under the curse, the shadow of the curse. But I think the insight of Good Friday, and it's an insight that you can see there in Moses, is that God knew that we would fail, and he was preparing for a better way, the way of Good Friday. The journey of the Old Testament is there to lead us to Good Friday. God, through Moses, is trying to say, if you stand on your own efforts, then you will be under the curse of my judgment. However, Jesus comes, and he is a curse for us on Good Friday. He became a curse for us. He, the innocent one, who actually was the one who 100% fulfilled the law, the one perfect righteous person that ever lived, and he became a curse for us on the cross. And so, friends, the two paths are before you today. One is the way of faith and believing and relying on Christ crucified. And the other path is a path of law, of doing, of performance. The Apostle Paul thinks it's no choice. Clearly, he says, no one is justified by God by the law, before God by the law. The righteous live by faith. The law is not based on faith, it's based on doing. The man who does these things will live by them. Which path are you living, friends? Are you living the relying on Christ crucified path, the believing path, or are you living by the doing path, the law path? You would not try and do something where others have failed. You'd be a bold person to try and, you know, jump a cliff where people have jumped and died. Thousands of people, millions of people have tried to obey God by law. But clearly, it cannot be done. God's gift to us on Good Friday is his Son. In Jesus, you have peace with God, you have divine peace, because there's no sense of the curse of the law being over you if you just trust in him alone. But if you're also hedging a bet on your doing, your striving, your points, whether they're spiritual or moral, whatever they are, then you're inviting back into your life the curse of the law. Whenever you're trying to perform for God to earn your way, you're inviting back the curse of the law on yourself. True peace is only found in relying on Christ crucified alone. He is our curse bearer. Jesus says, the Apostle Paul says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. But friends, hear the benefits of relying on Christ crucified, of believing in him, worshipping him, centering your whole life around that promise. If you rely on Christ, then the blessings anticipated in Deuteronomy are yours as a free gift. If you rely on Christ crucified, you receive the promises given to Abraham, the promises of blessing. If you trust and rely on Christ crucified, you receive the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You receive the blessing of peace with God, of justification through faith alone. You receive the blessing of full atonement for all your sins, past, present, future. You receive the blessing of spiritual rebirth and renewal as you rely on Christ crucified. You receive assurance of your eternity today. In fact, the Apostle Paul elsewhere says, in Christ we have every spiritual blessing. Friends, choose today how you will walk. The way of law and curse, or the way of a Jesus-centered life, a Jesus-dependent life, where he has become a curse for you. It's shocking, it's astonishing, but it's our salvation. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Friends, rejoice. What a great Saviour we have. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, on this day, we show our respect and our reverence for your suffering and death by rejoicing in your taking the curse for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this being the solution and the end point of the entire Bible. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we will continue to walk in you, loving you, trusting in you, relying on you as our crucified Saviour and Lord. Amen.